thank you so much for listening to another episode of CX Chronicles Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Brady Chisana. Tune in each week as we listen to amazing customer-focused business leaders from across the world sharing their personal stories about their teams, tools, process, and feedback. Check us out at cxchronicles.com today or listen on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Hey, folks. Happy New Year's from CX Chronicles. Thanks so much, as always, for listening to the podcast and for tuning in each week to listen to amazing customer-focused business leaders from across the world. I'd love to just take a quick minute to let all of you know, please take a minute to stop by your favorite podcast player and leave the CX Chronicles podcast a review, letting other folks know why you love the show. It's super, super helpful for helping us find new listeners and for letting others know about all the fun that we have each week here. Do not hesitate to reach out for any of my friends that are building their businesses and building their teams and building their customer portfolio base. Do not hesitate to reach out to CX Chronicles if you need help getting ready for all that 2021 is going to bring, and you're looking for some additional help on the CX managed services side to help run your business and manage your customers into the future. Thanks so much, folks. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening to the CX Chronicles podcast. Oliver Ginsberg, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, guys, we got an awesome show today. Oliver is the head of customer experience at a company called Public in New York City, and he's going to give us the whole rundown on all the amazing things that him and the team are working on, and more importantly, just building an awesome space that's so ripe for just new ways of thinking, new businesses, new technologies, and new younger teams building some of those solutions. So, Oliver, I'm pumped for today's show, man.
Likewise, and I'm really looking forward to this, and we got a lot to talk about for sure.
100%. So let's, why don't we start out the show, Oliver? Why don't you take a couple minutes, given the CX Nation, your elevator pitch, talk a little bit about sort of how you got into customer experience, how you got into working with customers, how you got into building teams, and how you ended up at a company like Public.
Yeah, for sure. So I like to think that I've been involved in CX in some way since I was a kid. You know, the human connection and just seeing how people make decisions as a group has always fascinated me. It's why I got a sociology degree. But at the end of the day, you know, what's really kind of interesting is that CX is everywhere all the time. And without sounding, you know, too cliche, like there's no such thing as a small CX experience. And so I had like the honor of being able to learn and just learn so many things from just a bunch of experts. And also like individual personal experiences with other companies and individuals, customer service has really shaped my own approach. One of like my favorite stories, for example, is I went to my buddy's wedding. I was a groomsman, stayed at this hotel in North Carolina, and like 30 minutes before the ceremony, I couldn't find my dress pants. And long story short, they had dropped in the parking lot.
Nice,
dude. From my car.
Very good.
But I just asked the front desk if there was anything that could be done. And this gentleman, I'll never forget it, he just stopped what he was doing. He took me to the basement of this hotel where they make the uniforms for all the employees.
Okay.
And they literally just sewed me a pair of pants in like 15 minutes and put it together. I didn't even skip a beat. And nobody noticed, of course, but it was one of those things that still really sticks with me. And no CX experience is really too small. So I've always been really interested in people, and I've naturally gravitated to just startups because I love the chaos, especially of the early years. I love being able to figure out the rules, experiment, make mistakes, and I'd really try to anticipate like the market as much as possible in what I'm doing. And so started off out of college, came back to the States, and I started working immediately for a salad dressing startup. And so my job was just going to Whole Foods and setting up a sample table and just handing out samples.
That's awesome.
All week long. And it was tough, but I learned a lot about how people make decisions and more importantly, like how they don't. And that face-to-face kind of urgency and also pressure made me fall in love with CX.
Well, I was going to ask, Oliver, you must have had some super interesting early customer conversations doing that. That's not easy at all. Being able to get up, represent a brand, represent a company, pass out samples, that's hard, man. So what were some of those conversations like?
So, you know, it was interesting. Sometimes there were people that just wanted to talk, nothing to do with what I was selling or showing or telling them. And that's actually what I focused on a lot, is why people would interact with me. I, of course, like tried to perfect my pitch as I would go and try to create a crowd so other people would come over, you know, the classic salesman stuff. But really it was the people that weren't buying. And people would want to spend time just chatting in the middle of shopping for groceries. And mm-hmm. it really kind of stuck with me that, look, at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer that people just really want to be a part of something. And if you can make someone feel like they are a part of something, your brand is just going to do amazing things. And your CX reputation is just, it's going to be self-fulfilling in a lot of ways.
100%.
And I had an interaction once, I'll never forget. A woman came up to me and we were speaking for a while and didn't end up buying some salad dressing, but said, "You're a great salesman." and she gave me this quote and she said, "Look, it's what you've done is it's not what you've tried to sell me or show me or anything like that. It's literally how you made me feel." And she came back a week later and bought. And that stuck with me because it's not really about what you're selling them or telling them. And it's an old adage, but it's all about how you make people feel. And so I wanted to pursue that professionally.
That's awesome, man. And you're right. That is at the essence of it, whether you're working in customer experience, customer success, customer support, customer sales, right? All frankly, all very similar types of things when you get into it. But that's the biggest part of it, man. It's making connections with humans. It's making people feel comfortable. It's having conversations. It's sharing stories or information or ideas with one another. And frankly, it's through that reputation that really, truly sound business relationships. And eventually, you know, frankly, Oliver, as you and I were talking about the other day, even friendships, man, that's how friendships are born too. So it's like, that's awesome. Keep going with your story, sir.
Yeah. So for sure. So I found myself in tech and SaaS companies. And what I really love about tech is it's not a product. There's nothing physical somebody can consume in a traditional sense. Tech is all about the experience. And so CX and support, doing it poorly or very well, that can make or break an entire tech company. And I love the pressure and the burden that's there because you can just have such a bigger opportunity to make an impact. And it's by doing things tactically day by day that people don't expect as customers. It's like you send handwritten letters to a customer from a social investing app. People don't understand why, but they know that it's a great thing. Yep. And so it's really just about the delivery, and it's about anticipating and being proactive. And so finding myself where we are now at Public is a social investing app. And what's really special about us is we have an amazing community, and it's not something that you can buy. At the end of the day, we have seen and feel that investing in general is going through a moment, but traditionally it's been a very limited aspect of personal finance that the majority of the American public could take advantage of. They don't teach this stuff in school, and financial literacy is really something that has to be self-taught nowadays. For us, we found that there is a great opportunity to create a community that is safe and inclusive, where people can learn and ask questions and share thoughts about the stock market. And they can share their trades and their decisions and be as public or private as they want. But at the end of the day, investing is so intimidating, and it's been made to come off as so intimidating, that the app itself and our mission is really to just get rid of the intimidation, make people feel comfortable asking questions to complete strangers and getting help. And customer service and the CX team, we just have a very critical and delicate role in maintaining all these different parts of that.
That's awesome. So, I mean, there's a couple of things that I immediately think about, Oliver. The first is just, it really is amazing in 2020 that we still have educational systems that don't even teach humans the basics of things like personal finance. One of the things that becomes so critical and important in life, to being able to afford things like food or shelter or education or all the other fine things that life has to offer, right? And you ask a common young individual today about personal finance, they're probably not going to even remotely have any of that type of structure in their schooling today, which is crazy if you think about it. There's so many different things that, like, you'd think that we would have already started introducing into regular life. So it's incredible that there's a solution in a business like Public that's helping to kind of push some of that forward. Again, it's crazy that it doesn't start even sooner in a human's life, to be perfectly honest with you. Let's take a couple minutes to dive into the first CX pillar team. I'd love for you to spend some time talking about how the team at Public's built today, what type of folks are on the team, how you guys have been building it. Give us a sense for sort of what the team looks like over there at Public.
For sure. So the team at Public is growing really quickly, and we are really getting into the growth stage where the first, you know, early couple of months, everybody's wearing a lot of hats, and you're really trying to establish the roles and the titles and the positions and the org chart, as well as all the policies and procedures, while trying to advance the department and grow it 1% every day or 0.5% every day. But with that being said, one of the really unique challenges of Public and the space that we're in is it's a heavily regulated industry, which is a great thing because it does protect the consumer. But with that, you can't just necessarily build a support team with just amazing customer service agents and employees. You also need to have a balance of people that have these very specific financial licenses. And finding a balance between the limited number of people that have these licenses and also just the great empathetic talent that exists in this country, just people that love CX, we have to find a balance because in a lot of ways, you can't just have any CX person speak to any member about everything.
Yep.
Certain personal information can only be viewed and discussed with somebody who has a license. So we are very actively trying to figure out how we can scale without having, of course, our entire team just be made up of licensed team members.
And Oliver, just for the listeners, what type of licenses do you guys actually have to have required as to be part of the Public team?
Yeah, great question. So it's licenses that are actually pretty standard throughout the brokerage world and the investing world. And so they're FINRA licenses, which is the self-regulatory organization for the SEC. And so you have to have licenses like a Series 7, Series 63, or a Series 24, which a lot of studying, a lot of exams, but it really teaches you the rules behind this and gives you a lot of knowledge to be able to speak to investors and members in an informed and, most importantly, responsible way. And so at the end of the day, there's a very limited amount of people that currently have these licenses. And we also feel that at Public, while we're going to have to find a balance between hiring people with licenses, we also want to encourage our teammates that don't have these licenses to learn them and get them on their own, because it helps them in their own career. It makes them more valuable to the company, and it teaches you information about how this little part of the world works that you get to carry with you forever. And at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to things like diversity and inclusion, people with licenses have traditionally been skewed towards certain genders, and there's a lot of work that needs to happen. So we want to really make sure that not only is our team like a direct representation of this country, but that we can help kind of turn the tide for what somebody that traditionally has a license does.
Yep, that makes sense. I get it. I think that that's huge. I think the other big thing too is, man, what a as if building a CX team and if building a CX roadmap or a CX strategy or helping to scale a CX team isn't hard enough already, Oliver. You guys have a whole extra layer of complexity there, sir. So that must be fun for you and the team to work on every day. I think the last part of what you mentioned is spot on. When you come to thinking about how to really value the diversity piece in today's world, especially now more than ever, man. We were just talking about it before we started jumping into today's show. It's like, boy, we've got a lot of work to do as a country, as a world. And it's the only way we can do it is by really trying to work together, right? And trying to collaborate and trying to work with other smart people to make things much, much better for the future. So I love that you mentioned a number of those different factors. Oliver, I'd love to spend a couple minutes picking your brain and learning a little bit about the way that that team of yours works with different tools and systems to be able to not only work with all of these different financial customers, but to your point of the compliance and the complexity of FINRA and of the SEC and all these different additional layers that you have. spend a couple of minutes talking about tools. Give us a sense for sort of how Public has built out its toolkit and how that team sort of is equipped to be able to go into battle each and every day.
For sure. So yes, to your point, there is the added layer of complication. But what's awesome about it at the same time is the fact that we're in this heavily regulated industry means that there are pretty black and white rules about what can and can't be done. And it actually ends up being a benefit in terms of how we choose what tools we use and how we record things. And so on one side, every interaction with a member and a customer is something that we track internally as part of our CX ethos. And we don't just track feedback. We track every conversation we have in an intentionally low-tech way because we're all about habits and we feel that, you know, having a million very small habits that are healthy, that is how you give yourself as an individual and as a team bandwidth to be creative and have time during the day to not just be reactive. Mm-hmm. So tactically and specifically, we use, so we have a number of like customer service channels. People can reach us via social, of course, email, live chat, which is a big one for us, and then also App Store reviews, which we treat as a customer service channel and reply to everybody's reviews in under 24 hours.
Excellent.
And at the end of the day, it's about respecting how our members want to get in contact with us and not telling them to go somewhere else. So we use Intercom for our live chat and some of our help service. And it's a great tool. It's not perfect, but it really gets a lot of the basics of customer service that we feel are very important at Public. Tracking the metrics and KPIs that aren't just like classically expected, like your CSATs and your NPS, but taking a little bit like more detailed and a deeper dive into things that we as a specific company and team need to know. So Intercom, great tool. The other side of it is we pretty much don't use any other third parties or tools, but we have a homegrown custom built tracker and reporting system that I've been iterating on for the last 8 or 9 years, but it is intentionally very simple. And for us, we, as we track every conversation and create a historical record of every interaction we have, we're also building this awesome ever-growing database of who our customers are, what the sentiment's like, how things are changing. And it allows us to just be so much more informed via data and via these custom dashboards that the awesome people on my team have created from the very simple data that we track. We have insight into, you know, 40 or 50 different things that matter to us about what's going on in our app at any given point. And being able to have insight into what we feel are important KPIs and metrics allows us to implement things that make us more proactive and give us the bandwidth to be more proactive. And when I talk about being proactive, I'm specifically talking about things like checking in with customers and members at different milestones. And we could definitely go into that a whole bunch, but big picture is that we try to keep the tools that we actually use as simple as possible, and we try to focus on building them ourselves as much as possible.
I love that. I mean, so number one, it's every business is going to have a different type of course around whether or not they're going to go about finding different tools that they are already built, that they can simply buy and they can partner with. Other companies are hell-bent on making sure that they're building within. If they're going to have incredibly smart people that are engineers or developers or people that can build algos or people that can tie together data sets and create all of these wildly different tools, they're going to have a tendency to want to build within and keep expanding it. There is no right path. Every business in every industry has a wildly different path, but it sounds like you guys have a pretty awesome type of situation going with the tool side. I love the fact that obviously using a super well-known tool like Intercom is super helpful for all of the different ebbs and flows of keeping in touch with whether or not you're taking care of customer issues and whether you're tracking certain communications. That's awesome. But I love the fact that you guys are building a bunch of your own tools inside, because that makes it, number one, a lot of fun. Number two, when you are able to, and you're in a fortunate position to have a really strong tech team or engineering or development team that can build those things, you really do get to build different usability cases that are directly for the customer base that you're serving, and better yet, the employees who know how to make those customers happy better than anybody else. And that is just a special thing when you get to work in a company where you have the luxury of sort of building some of those tools underneath your own umbrella. So that's awesome.
Exactly. And to your point, you know, it is all about resources. And I got to say that on our side, we have amazing engineers, and we've all worked together before previously in some capacity, but we have awesome engineers that really understand Our customers and members are everything. And one of the awesome things about Public from the very beginning is buy-in from the top. Like, we have so much autonomy and independence on the CX team because we're charged with maintaining the entire reputation of the company. Everything we say, every word is a press release that goes out there. And so making sure that every person on the team understands our tone and style as a company, but more importantly, has the independence to be an individual human and speak in the way that they want to, that sort of transparency transcends with our members and our customers, and it really creates a lot of trust. And when we have that trust, we really see a lot less volume come in. When trust is really there between customers and CX, we get to spend a lot of time being more proactive.
Right. Yep. No, it really is true. It makes a big difference in terms of being able to stay on top of things, being less reactive, being more looking on the horizon to see what's coming in. Oliver, I'd love for you to spend a couple of minutes. You already kind of touched on a few different parts of this, but I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about processes and workflow. So as Public has grown and as you've scaled and as the team has gotten bigger and the customer portfolio has grown, can you spend a couple minutes talking about how you and the team have sort of gone about tracking, documenting, or optimizing the way that you need to kind of keep all of these different processes and workflows, connecting all these different teams and departments that are working on all of these things together?
For sure. So high level, I would say it's all about habits. And when you build habits that people respect on either side, it becomes muscle memory. And when it becomes muscle memory, you don't even think about doing it. It's just a great habit that's healthy, and that ends up being a process. We, pre-corona and COVID times, we had a very collaborative effort with all of our teammates in different departments because CX has so much overlap with marketing and brokerage ops and our engineering team. It's been an extra challenge now that we've all been remote for 6-7 months, maintaining that collaboration. So we've had to adapt how we talk to each other, how we check in, how we hold each other accountable and be transparent. And I have to say, we've done a pretty great job so far. There's always room for improvement. But in CX, we really try to experiment a lot. And so all of our processes, I like to look at them as just ongoing experiments. There's some that will always stay the way they are. They're perfected. They just need to be respected.
Right,
and there's
right.
others that should always be changing. And one of the biggest problems that I think a startup has, and especially in a CX team in the early years, is they don't think about what happens in 6 months from now. Like, how different are we going to be in a year? Where do we need to be in a year, and what do we need to do now to get to that growth that we feel we deserve and earn? And so at this point, we have really spent a lot of time trying to work backwards. And that's a big theme in CX, is not just handling like what we're doing today and tomorrow and next month, but what is it going to be like in 2021? How are we going to continue to work together if we're remote for a while? How do we build up the team and make sure that everybody on the team feels like they're a part of something big and something bigger than just an individual? And that's also been part of the fun.
I bet it is. And I do have to ask you, so Oliver, you're in New York City, but are you and the team all working remotely still? Are you guys back in your office in Manhattan? Is it a combination of both? What are you guys doing at Public right now?
Great question. So the office is technically open with revised policies, of course, but to be honest, we've just become very comfortable at working this way, and we've adapted so much that it really works for us as a CX team. We've been able to hire and train and really keep things consistent this whole time. So we are remote. We're staying remote right now for the foreseeable future. But the other part of it is we're kind of used to it. We have an office in New York City, and we also have another office in Copenhagen. The exciting news on our side is we've actually just decided to open a new office in Raleigh, North Carolina.
And that
our new home.
Very nice.
And it was quite an exhaustive search to get there. But at the end of the day, Raleigh is going to be everything for us. It's the perfect city with just a myriad of amazing qualities. And we've already started to build that team out, and it's been completely remote. So we are planning for a return to physical office. But at the same time, we're not expecting. We're planning for every situation and scenario in case this happens to go on for longer. And that's like another theme in CX, is we just don't like surprises.
Yeah.
And so much of what we can do in this space is plan for those fires and surprises ahead of time. Really just helps us be more anticipatory.
I feel like CXers are some of the best operational smoothers that are on planet Earth sometimes.
100%.
When people are like, wait, what's operational smoothing? Oh, it's like when you can literally look 10 steps ahead and you already know which 3 steps will trip you up.
Exactly. And that's why like having great habits that you don't think about are so important.
Yep.
Because it just allows you to think 5, 10, 15 moves ahead.
Yeah.
With every possible scenario or outcome.
100%. Oliver, I want to hit this last, the fourth and final CX pillar, feedback. Yes. I was super excited to kind of talk about this because in the financial game, this is different, right? You've got, I'd love for you to spend a couple minutes talking about, you know, how does Public collect their different customer feedback? What do they do with it? And sort of what's kind of like some of the, what's some of the normal ways that you guys will take that feedback and inject it right back into Public's future product?
So, on one side, we track every interaction. We don't limit it to bugs and feature requests. That habit and that resource helps us implement really like procedures that come on the latter side of an interaction. So big thing for us is checking in and following up. And it's terms that I use all the time. So the way that we gather feedback, we have it in the traditional senses where we're interacting with a customer and we track that. We also have such an awesome community that they're talking about feature requests in the app, in comments, on trades all day, every day. And so our job is to make sure that we're always watching and taking note. And one of the biggest missteps that we see in the idea of like a feature request being implemented is the lack of a follow-up. And so when somebody tells us that they want to see something in the app, there's so much to unpack there. They're taking time out of their day. They are actually giving us free advice on what they want to see to keep them happy. It's the most valuable piece of marketing you could ever get. And so we have a duty to make a note and make sure that if and when that becomes a thing, we're personally reaching out to let you know we've made this happen. We want your feedback, good, bad, and ugly. Please give us more ideas. And we create this self-fulfilling prophecy and really this behavior where people and our members are just so willing to let us know what they think and what they want, that we spend so much time fielding feature requests. And it's a beautiful thing because even the criticism that we get publicly, and we make a mistake here or there, we don't hide behind things. We come out behind the counter. We try to make up any mistake that we ever commit, and we really just try not to repeat it. And so that transparency that we really convey in every conversation we have with members is a core principle for us, because in the finance world, people expect to be given a hard time. You expect for your money to be locked up or for something confusing to happen. People just come into this space so much more guarded. And so we have such an opportunity to de-escalate and create trust so much quicker that we have an awesome community that really feels like they can trust us. And when they feel like they can trust us, they can tell us what's on their mind. And that's the most valuable way to collect feedback for us.
That's huge. That's awesome. I love the piece that you refer to. You know, for our listeners for today, that is Oliver's point of coming around the counter, understanding the problem, making it clear to the customer or to the customer base that you're going to do something about the top three things that keep showing up again and again and again. Better yet, Oliver, to your point, like when you can literally visualize or share back with them, I know many, many past guests have talked about building out you asked, we listened types of features into the regular voice of customer, where not only do you collect it and do you talk about it, but you literally share back with even your customer base. Hey, by the way, the last 90 days, here's the top three things you guys are asking for. Here's what our product team and our sales team and our customer team was able to do for you this month or this quarter, or, you know, that stuff. People totally love that. And then on top of it, when the next time that a customer sees you asking for an NPS or a CSAT, or if you're a smaller business and you're just simply doing a fill out form, they're going to see that stuff and they're going to want to give you their feedback because they know it's not just going to go right, right out the window. Rather, it's going to go back into making the business better. So that's fantastic, man.
Awesome. And it's one of those things where it's really a symbiotic relationship, and we can do as much as we can on our side to be as friendly and high touch and proactive as possible. But our members also have to feel it. And people are not stupid. They know when they are being sent a canned reply. They know when the person on the other side is not reading what they are saying and not hearing them. And those little moments where you can really pay attention to details, it's how you create, as you said earlier, like friendships.
Yep.
And it's one of the greatest parts about doing CX and being in this world is that you can just help change someone's perception so easily. And it's all about trust.
Big time. Oliver, this has been incredibly helpful. This has been incredibly insightful. Before we start wrapping up today's show, I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to shout out any features or highlights or anything that you want to share with the CX Nation about yourself, about Public, and most importantly, where can people find you guys?
For sure. So first things first, you can find us at public.com. App is available on the Google Play Store and also on the iOS App Store. It's commission-free trading. We are a social investing app. We'd love to hear from you. Honestly, please reach out to me or my team any part, any time. We'd love to help you get comfortable. And at the end of the day, to the rest of CX Nation, times are tough out there and people are going through a lot. And the role of a CXer is just so much more intense nowadays because, you know, customers are, we're all going through something, right?
Yep.
Customers can sometimes look at customer service as an empty vacuum or a void that they can just vent. And at the end of the day, CXers and people on the other side, the frontline support staff, we have to understand that we have to be a little bit tougher right now because people are going through stuff. But at the same time, we can always be a great customer ourselves. And that's something I try to say all the time. It's like, be a good customer yourself, practice what you preach, understand that there's no CX experience too small. And this is the other thing is that, look, everybody's going through something you know nothing about. And I try to reinforce this all the time because it's the little things that can make or break someone's day. And CX holds so much power and impact in that, that it's something that really should be wielded with a bunch of concern, but also with a bunch of hope because CX is hope and support is really the most important part of any company. And without sounding too cliche, the CXers and CX Nation are really the ones that are keeping everything going right now. And I think that's awesome. And everybody deserves a pat on the back.
Well said, brother. And I love that you brought this up to close because the reality is there's over 10 million of us that are basically working with customers, working with accounts, working with internal customers within our businesses to make those accounts work every single day. And you are spot on, Oliver, where it's like that is a huge part of the glue that is keeping the economy together right now. And I think you're spot on where post-COVID, the world and global customer expectations are going to be different than they've ever been before. So now is the time where you're going to see customer-focused business leaders across the world really kind of rising to the top executive ranks. And you're going to have folks that are thinking about modern diversified leadership running companies. Those are going to be the people that are running the planet's largest companies within the next 10 years. So I think we've got some exciting times in front of us, my friend.
Completely agreed. And now is the time to really start experimenting and practicing and planning for what this new world is going to be like.
Yep. It's going to be a fun experience, my friend.
It is.
So Oliver, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining the show. Best of luck to you and the team at Public. And we look forward to chatting with you again real soon, my friend.
Adrian, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, best part of my day. I really appreciate this, and I hope we talk soon.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too. Cheers.
Hey, folks. This is Adrian, your host of the CX Chronicles podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to amazing customer-focused business leaders each and every week. I wanted to take a minute to talk about a couple brand new product and service offerings at CXC. Number one, customer scorecards. Have you had a minute to take a look at our CX scorecards and understand how you're doing across team, tools, process, and feedback? Number two, customer feedback reporting. A number of different companies are looking for ways to get better customer feedback reporting. Reach out to CXE today if you need help setting up your MPS, CSAT, product SAT, or customer effort scoring. Number three, customer experience coaching. Take the time to become a customer-focused business leader. We've done some amazing work with a number of awesome CXers out there. Reach out to us today at CXE to learn how you can get your customer-focused business leader playbook for success. Check us out at cxchronicles.com. Thank you for listening to another episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. We're thrilled to have you as a part of the CX Nation, tuning into customer-focused business leaders from across the world.
Be sure to check out the CXC website. And as always, find us on any of your favorite podcast players, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Thanks so much for making this show a reality and being a part of the CX Nation. And as always, folks, remember to make happiness a habit.